Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, welcome to In the Pink, sponsored by Bose. Stay home, stay healthy, stay connected.
Well, let's start at the beginning for you and your childhood, and when you first did get on a bike, because, okay, maybe it wasn't as young as five, but you certainly caught the bug pretty early. Tell me about the ET story. It's really cute.
Yeah, well, I guess I was about 6 years of age and ET came out as a film, and I think somebody had it on VHS on the video, and I sat down and watched this movie, and everyone else was talking about the alien and about, you know, ET as a film, but all I could think about were these amazing bikes. I'd never seen a BMX bike before, and it was the first time I'd, you know, I'd been exposed to this new way of riding a bike. These, you know, going over jumps, carving through turns. It was just, you know, it's hard to imagine now because BMX feels like it's been around forever, but it didn't exist when I was born. And here was this new way of riding a bike. So immediately I watched the film, I saw the BMX bikes, and I thought, this is what I want to have a go of. So tested my parents and, you know, I said, oh, can I get BMX for my Christmas? They were about £100 in those days, a lot of money. And my parents, being good thrifty Scots, thought, well, you know, maybe it's going to be a passing fad. We'll just get them any old bike. They got a bike from a local jumble sale for £5, secondhand. And my dad resprayed it black and he put BMX stickers on it and BMX handlebars and grips. And that was my first bike and I loved it. And that was how I got into cycling. So really, I've got Steven Spielberg to thank for my cycling career.
And we need to thank him too. I love the fact your dad pimped your ride as early as 6 years old. Nice.
He loved it. I mean, it's looking back now. Yeah, I mean, to a six-year-old's eyes, it looked just like the real thing. Oh. But yeah, didn't last long. To be fair, I mean, as soon as I got to the point of riding my bike, I then wanted to jump because I'd seen the film. I'd seen how they were all kind of, you know, getting air. And the trouble was the bike wasn't designed for that kind of abuse. So I built ramps in the back garden with a plank of wood and bricks. And before too long, I basically snapped the frame. So I think they realised this is going to last a bit longer than a few weeks. So it's not a passing fad. Maybe he does need a proper bike. And then the next bike was a Rally Super Burner. And that was when it all started.
Yeah, as you say, not a passing fad. But how did you go from a very enthusiastic, passionate kid to the world's most successful ever track cyclist? I mean, that's a hell of a jump.
Yeah, it wasn't a meteoric rise, and I wasn't one of these kids that you would just have picked out at a young age and thought, well, they've got, you know, sort of inverted commas talent for that kind of thing. Because I don't really like the word talent, because it kind of, the connotations are that it's easy and that you just sort of get out of bed and you're good at whatever it is you do. But the reality for anything, I think, is that you have to, you know, it's hard work, it's consistency, it's hard graft that gets you there. And I think that we're kind of fed this notion of talent in all walks of life, whether it's singing, dancing, sport, whatever. The word talent just gets overused. And I think for kids growing up, knowing that whatever it is you're passionate about, whatever it is you've got an interest in, that's great, but it's going to take a lot of hard work. And for me, I just loved racing bikes. I loved riding bikes. I did BMX. I got into mountain biking. I joined a cycling club in Edinburgh when I was about 14. And they met once a week at the velodrome at Meadowbank. And I got a bike there and I just started racing once a week. And it wasn't, as I say, I wasn't great at the start. I was just sort of plodding away, steady improvements. But I guess what I did have was ambition. I wanted to get better. I wanted to see how far I could go. And yeah, it was a very gradual rise rather than a sudden burst onto the scene.
Okay, but you have made an incredibly successful career of it. Was there a plan B though? I mean, I know you went to university, so you must have had it in the back of your mind that if this doesn't work out, I've got another path, or did you?
Yeah, well, it was never going to be a career, because there was absolutely no chance at all of making a living out of cycling. In the early days, there was no support financially. We didn't have an indoor track to train on, 12 months of the year. Britain, as a track cycling nation, were, a sort of C or D grade nation, really. We had one or two individuals who were successful, but no team set up. So there wasn't even a possibility. Even if you had the potential, there wasn't a pathway to follow like there is now. So if you're a 15, 16 year old athlete now, you're into cycling, you have the ability, you're going to work hard, you can follow a pathway to success. But back then there wasn't. So it was always about, have your sort of career, or get your qualifications, have a backup plan. And then cycling was a hobby that I was basically doing it to see how far I could go, to see if I could make the team for the Commonwealth Games. And the Olympics was the dream, but it was such a pipe dream in those days, because we didn't even have, there was nobody in Britain winning medals in sprint events in my lifetime. I think Reg Harris was the last, big name in sprinting, and that was back in the 1950s. So we had nobody to really emulate or look up to or have as a role model within the UK. So it was tough, but the heart of it all was just that I love for what I was doing. I loved racing my bike. I loved riding my bike. I loved being with the guys, with the team, having a goal to work towards, training hard. And over the years, it just, so many things happened at the right moment for me. Really lucky, sort of sliding doors moments where, I finished university in 1999, and that was just when lottery funding had started. So it meant I didn't have to get a full-time job. I could pursue my dream for a year or two and see how it went. And, it was £10,000, and that was like £1 million back in those days, because it paid my rent, it paid for my food, it paid for, all the kind of the things you needed to do to be a full-time bike rider. And within a year, I was at the Olympics in Sydney, and we got a silver medal in the team sprint. And it was like you were living your dream. It was incredible. You just did it for the love of it. You weren't thinking beyond the next year, but it was just, a huge amount of fun.
So what were you going to be had this cycling dream not materialised?
I've got no idea. So I started out, I went to university in St Andrews to do physics and maths, and I quite enjoyed that school. But then I went to university and it was just so dry, and I just didn't enjoy it. And what I have learned in life is that you work hard at the things that you enjoy, and it doesn't matter how hard or how willing you are to be committed to something. If you don't enjoy it, you won't work hard enough. And it was, I was having a really good time at the university, having fun socially, but I wasn't enjoying the course. So I changed to do sports science in Edinburgh. I went back home, so partly to have a sort of a proper go at cycling. And this was about 1996, I think it was, 1995, 96. And it was just, I was finding myself looking up scientific journals, trying to answer the questions to the things that I couldn't get an answer from, because I didn't have a coach. We didn't have people helping us or guiding us. So I always wanted to know about how to train for sprint events. There were lots of endurance cyclists around you could talk to, but very few sprint cyclists. So I had all these different questions. And I thought, well, if no one can give me the answers, I just have to go out and find them myself. So I'd go to the library, get all these journals out, look at, information on strength conditioning or power athletes in different sports, and try and write my own training program and sort of formulate it that way. And then I realized, well, why don't I do a degree in this? Because I may as well get something from this. I'm interested in it. I'll work harder at it. So I went to Edinburgh University and did sports science, and I loved it. And it never felt like I was like a chore, like I was having to work. I was just really interested in it.
Thanks so much for listening to In the Pink. I hope you've enjoyed the podcast you've listened to so far. Please don't forget to rate, review and subscribe. Check out our Instagram page at in_the_pink. And you get all the details there about how you can win some of those Bose noise cancelling headphones. And join the community. We're all talking about the various guests that we've had on the podcast and who we'd like to see and hear in the next few weeks. So thank you for joining us. Stay with us. Stay healthy. Stay home. Stay connected with Bose.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.